David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul had indeed come. So he wasn't sure initially, but now, after sending his spies, the report came back, it was Saul. But why Ziphite betrayed David again? Right? Pastor Mark shared with us earlier about how Ziphite betrayed David. Now, Ziphite betrayed David again. So there are a few reasons, I believe, why Ziphite betrayed David again. Maybe the first reason is the location. Because the hill where David is hiding is very near to Ziph and Maon. So there's a high possibility that the Ziphites heard about what happened to Nabal and David in the previous chapter. That means chapter 24, chapter 25, and chapter 26. Now what happened to chapter 25? If you go to chapter 25, you will learn that Nabal disrespect David, and David was so angry with him, he almost want to kill him. But thank God, Nabal's wives came in and interceded, and because of Nabal's wife, Abigail, came in and interceded, therefore David didn't kill Nabal. But because of Nabal's wickedness, God strike Nabal to death. So maybe it was so near, so they heard about something is going on between Nabal and David. Some scholars believe that Nabal has some relative in Ziph. So now, you know, they heard about this news, and some of their relatives passed, got killed, and they suspected maybe it's from David. So maybe because of that, they wanted to take revenge. That's why they betrayed David. Alright? For killing Nabal. Even though the scripture said to us, it was God who struck Nabal to death. But there's another possibility that why they betrayed David. That, you know, it's very likely, which I feel this probably is the reason, is because Ziphites had betrayed David before. So because they had betrayed David before, and now they heard about this news, therefore now they are afraid that David will do to them as how he had done to Nabal. That means they are afraid that David will take revenge, since David is not far from their place. So probably this is the reason that why Ziphites betrayed David by reporting to Saul, to protect themselves in case David comes and attacked them. How do we handle people like Ziphite? Right? Why? Because David has no intention to harm them at all. David has no intention to attack them at all. But how do we handle people like them, where David has no intention to harm them, and yet they try to hurt David because they are threatened by his presence? Have you ever encountered something like that before? People just do something to hurt you because, sometimes for no reason, sometimes because they just don't like you. Not because they have done anything wrong, they just do something to hurt you. And you wonder, why these people is doing such a thing to me? So how do we handle people like this, like them? But what really hurt David the most, what really hurt David most is not about Ziphite, how Ziphite had betrayed him. What really hurt David is that Saul has forgotten his promise to him. Saul earlier promised him that he will not chase him anymore. He will not hurt him anymore. And you know, David all along, he respect this king and he loved this king. And now this king somehow has forgotten his promise to David. He changed his mind and he began to start searching for David and trying to kill David. And that really breaks David's heart. Because he spared Saul one time. Not just one time. Saul has been chasing after him again and again. Has been trying, hiding away from him. Not because he's afraid of him, but because he loved him. But somehow, Saul couldn't let him go. Can you imagine, like David, you're in David's shoe? Someone keep coming after you, and you're trying to run away from the person because you love them. But the person just couldn't let you go. I think that really breaks David's heart. And the Bible said, the scripture said to us, Saul again chose 3,000 equipmen, soldier, well trained, to search for David. Now wait a minute, 3,000. If you remember Pastor Mark's message 3 weeks ago, how many men did David had or has? Can you remember? 300? I mean, let's do a bit. Can you remember? 600, right? If you go to 2 chapters earlier, David had 600 men with him. Now, what I'm trying to say to you is 3,000 men versus 600 men. What does it say to you? Sorry, louder, please. Saul wanted to... Hello? Kill, exactly, all right. Saul was determined to kill David. Even though David has been kind to him, but Saul was determined to kill David. The question is this, why is Saul so bitter towards David? Why is Saul so bitter towards David? David only got 600 men. Why is he so bitter towards him that he must kill him? Like he must die. Can you sense the bitterness in Saul? So what? Why is Saul is so bitter, all right, towards David? It's the woman's fault. 女人的错. All right? I tell you why. Because if you read the earlier chapter, it says that one day, after David returns from his many success battle, after a big Goliath, and then David continued to win many battles, and especially over the Philistine, it's a big thing. The Bible said to us, the women came from all the towns, dancing and singing. What did they sing? Saul has slain his thousand, but David his tens of thousand. And so when Saul heard this, this made Saul very angry. And from that time on, the scripture said to us, he kept a jealous eye on David. So Saul wants to kill David because David is more handsome than him. But this is what the women are singing. Oh, Saul is handsome, but David is even more handsome. Saul is good, but David is even better. Right? So, you know, Saul is like, who is this man, right? So, because of that, because David is more loved by more people, the Bible says he got angry with him. So the real cause, the real reason that for why Saul wanted to kill David is not just about the women. The real reason, listen to this, that what makes Saul want to kill David is that he could not overcome his own jealousies and bitterness. That was the reason that why Saul wanted to kill David. Is Saul the only person wanted to kill David? No. There were others who were, like Saul, were jealous of David's success as well. They were jealous of David's popularity. So there were others. Because if not, David would never say to Saul, why do you listen to the people who say, I'm trying to harm you? In the earlier chapter. So, David is saying to Saul, why are you listening to the lie of these people? So that means, Saul wasn't the only one wanted to kill David. The general, there are some people, probably someone you're close to Saul, has been trying to tell lie, spread lie to Saul and say, you know, David is doing better. I think the next goal for David is your throne. Have you seen a movie like that? Huh? Right? You've seen that, right? There are always people right behind. Hey, you know what? Be careful of this guy. Actually, they are the one who is jealous of David, but they will never say that. 这叫做借刀杀人, you know. Very cunning, this type of people, okay? Be careful of this kind of people, right? So there are people around, not just Saul alone, that wanted to kill David because of his success. Because he was handsome, he's better looking. And so there are people around there. So sometimes good looking friends and success can be a curse. I know we all want to be successful. We want to be good looking. But sometimes good looks and success can be a curse, because sometimes instead of attracting more friends, you might attract more enemies. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Thank God you look better than me." So my friends, are you jealous of someone today? Are you jealous of someone today? Are you angry or envy someone because you don't have what they have? Have you been comparing with other people? And as you look at them and you compare with yourself, you become angry. You got jealous because you see something that they have and you don't have, and you want that. And that's what happened to Saul. He became jealous because he saw something in David that he doesn't have, and he wants it. Proverbs 27 verse 4 says, "Anger is cruel and wrath is like a flood, but jealousies and envy," I add on the word envy because jealousy and envy, you know, is quite close to each other, "is even more dangerous." Turn to your neighbor and say, alright, jealousy is harmful for you. It's harmful for you, right? Don't eat laksa. Okay? Don't eat asa. Don't eat laksa and order too many ham, because it's harmful for you, right? My friends, today I want to say to you, don't allow jealousies to grow in your heart. Don't allow jealousies to grow in your heart. And there are many examples in the Bibles of why jealousy is harmful to us. You know, right from the beginning, God has already warned us. Right from the beginning in the book of Genesis. If you remember, Cain jealous of Abel because God was more pleased in Abel's offering. In his anger and bitterness, what did Cain do? Cain killed or murdered his own brother. Joseph, not me, right? Joseph in the Bible. Joseph was the favorite son among the brothers. And this made his brothers very jealous and angry. And what did they do? They sold him away as a slave. And then they lied to the father that he's already dead. They told a lie. Even Jesus, a man of God who is perfect, full of love, full of compassion, and he was crucified at the cross by his own people, by Pharisees, because they were jealous of him and they were angry at him. And I've seen many division among the leadership because of jealousies and envy. I've seen husband and wife quarrel with one another because of envy and jealousies. I've seen sibling, it's the most common, brother and sisters fighting with one another because of jealousies and envy. And I have seen friends, schoolmates, colleagues play politics, use the social media, you know, and gossip with one another, slander one another, simply because of jealousies and envy. Don't let jealousies grow in your heart. James says in his letter, chapter 4, verse 1 to 3, he says this, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desire, the battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask for your wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." When I was doing my theological study at Singapore Bible College, I struggle quite a bit, alright, to write papers. I love to read, but I never love to write. So I struggle a lot, you know, writing papers and because no matter how I try, right, I mean, I want to score A, but no matter how I try, I just cannot get A. Once in a while, easy paper, maybe I can score 1, 2 A's, but most of the time it's B, sometimes C, barely pass. And one day I met this brilliant guy, alright, at church, okay. And he told me that, I shared with him, you know, "Wow, I struggled a lot in my theological studies when I was there." And then he told me this, he told me that, You know, there was once, I was behind time to submit a paper. So, I bopian. Anyhow, scribble lah. And try to submit on the same day. And you know what? I still got A. You know, this person is our senior pastor, Pastor Daniel. You know, sometimes I really hate talking to people like him. He really made me very angry and jealous. I complained to God. Not fair. Why like that? Why I can study? Why I cannot? And then God say, but you can play badminton, ma. Oh, yeah. Right? I love my pastor, right? I really love him. Sorry. Yeah. Now, I'm sure you have met someone like that, right? I mean, you know what I'm talking about. You have met someone like that, alright? Who is more intelligent than you, handsome than you, pretty than you, more successful than you, can able to study better than you. And sometimes when you compare with them, you got frustrated, you got angry, right? You know, you will complain to God. Why? You know, why this person can do so well and I can't? And the more frustrated you become, you know, then you become more bitter. And sometimes you're not careful, you want to hurt that person in order to get what you want. And so the more you cannot get, the more you become, you're more frustrated. And then the more angry. And in an anger, you become bitter. And then the next thing, you'll be like Saul. You will try to, maybe you will not kill the person physically, but you'll do something to harm that person, to say that, if, you know, to say that, I cannot get it, but neither do I want you to get it. So I will do something to harm you, to make sure that you also cannot get it. You know, that is what our jealousies, you know, can make us into. If we are not careful, if we allow jealousy to grow in our hearts, we can do a lot of evil things. So don't let jealousy grow in your heart. Instead, I want to encourage you, as what James says earlier, you should ask God. Don't keep comparing with other people. Ask God. If you lack something, ask God. God knows your need. And when you ask Him, you must also trust Him that He will answer and He will provide. But after you have asked God, and you trust Him, they heard your prayer, and you believe that He will provide, the last thing is that you must let Him decide what is best for you. Sometimes you think that's the best for you, but may not be necessary. Sometimes we learn to trust God. What we see may not be always the best for us. That's why sometimes we learn to trust God and believe that whatever God has given to us is always the best for us. Jealousy in Chinese, 叫什么? Huh? So, 嫉妒. Okay, that is one. Huh? Not 嫉妒. Huh? 还有什么? 逼一个. 什么逼一个? 吃醋. Alright, yeah? Okay, yeah, well done. Right, well done. You like vinegar, huh? Have you ever wondered, right? 为什么 jealousy 跟吃醋 有什么关系? I also wonder, you know, what has vinegar, what have jealousies got to do with vinegar? Right? What is the link? So I kepo a bit, I went to the website, I want to find out more. Why is it called 吃醋? Eat vinegar. So I don't know, maybe this one is true, maybe it's not, but I'm going to read to you. Right? So what I found out is that how this 吃醋 come about, right? It happens many, many years ago. One day, the emperor sent a beautiful girl to his prime minister. Alright? So he sent a beautiful girl to this prime minister, and he wanted the prime minister to accept this beautiful woman as his concubine. But the prime minister's wife strongly objected the emperor's decision and threatened the emperor that she would rather drink poison than accept her husband with another woman. So to test this woman's love and courage, the emperor accept her offer. But what the emperor did is that he secretly filled the cup with vinegar instead of poison. And then the emperor offered her to drink. And after this woman drink the vinegar, of course she still survived. And since then, this story spread and people began using the term 吃醋 to refer to someone's jealous of their lover. So this is what I got, alright? That's how the 吃醋 come in. So now, after I read this story, now suddenly I realize, enlightened, you know, that, you know, my wife and I, we love to eat bak chor mee, you know. You know what is bak chor mee, you know? You all should know, huh? Okay? And what is the one thing about bak chor mee? You must add a lot of? Two, yes, a lot of vinegar, right? So now finally I understood. When I brought my wife to eat bak chor mee, right? My wife will say to me, dear, please add a lot of vinegar. So my wife is saying to me, this is how much I love you, right? Yeah, okay? So now finally I understood, right? You all don't know how to laugh, that's your problem, lah. It's meant to be a joke, okay? Well, anyway, let's move on, alright? So, don't let jealousies grow in your hearts. Now, but now we're going to turn from Saul to David. How did David respond to Saul's action? Alright, imagine Saul keep chasing after David, wanted his life. How did David respond to King Saul? And how did David overcome evil with good? So there are four things David did that are opposite from Saul that I'd like to share with you tonight. First of all, David brings peace. And we found that in verses 5 to 12. We're going to go into the text, alright? I just want to sum up for us. So, after David found out where Saul and his army are resting, he, Abimelech, and Abishai, three of them, go to the cave where David was staying and resting. So imagine Saul was in the middle, so the three of them had to walk across many soldiers and even to the general who is nearest to the king before they can stand at the side of King Saul. So when they stood at the side of King Saul, they saw a spear that is stuck on the ground. And the interesting part is that somehow no one was aware that the three of them were walking inside the cave. It's interesting, right? So the Bible said to us, it is because the Lord was with David. So the Lord was with David, and the Lord made the army deep in sleep. And so while David, Abishai, and Abimelech stood beside King Saul, Abishai said to David, God has delivered your army, your enemy, into your hand today. Now, therefore, please let me strike him at once with the spear, right to the earth, and I will not have to strike him a second time. Well, very hard, you know. Spy how you see. But David said to Abishai, do not destroy him, for who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? As the Lord lives, the Lord shall strike him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall go out to battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. But please take now the spear and the jar of water that are laid by his head and let us go. So David said to Abishai, let God handle Saul. It is not my responsibility to determine the fate of Saul. Let God handle him. And somehow David trusted God has a plan. Now to me this is very interesting because if you compare to the chapter earlier in chapter 24, in chapter 24, if you can still remember, it was Saul walked to David in the same cave. Remember that? David was with his 600 men in the cave trying to hide from Saul. And Saul walked to the cave without realizing that David and the 600 men were behind him. And what was Saul doing in the cave? He was, can you remember? Pooing la, pang sai. Yeah, that's what the scripture says. He was doing his business, alright? Without realizing that David and all the men, they were all enjoying the movie. Wow, you know. And so some men actually offer David to, hey, this is your chance, man. Kill him right now. But David said no. Instead, David cut the edge of the king's robe and then he walked away. But it says to us that after David cut the robe, he felt guilty. That means the Holy Spirit convicted him that he has sinned against God. Why? Even though it is just a robe, but to cut the robe is as bad as he killed the king. So that was in chapter 24. But this time, it's very different. This time, okay, imagine the camp is there, alright? And instead of running away, David actually took the initiative. He walked to the cave. That means he's putting his life at risk. Because what if they found, what if they caught him? Right? He will be in trouble. So David took the risk. He walked to the camp with the two volunteers. Not with other men anymore. Because the scripture said to us, this time David asked, who will follow me? And then only Abimelech and Abishai said, I will follow you. Alright? So David took the volunteers. Not with the whole gang. Just the two of them. Walked to David's side. And when Abishai said, I will kill David on, I will kill Saul on your behalf. If you are so worried about how God sees the whole thing, I take the responsibility lah. I be the one who is guilty lah. I will kill Saul on your behalf. But David said no. Said no to Abishai. And he said to Abishai, let God decide. But instead, he took the spear and the jar of water with him as an evidence, a proof that he was there. Why David asked for volunteers this time? If God is with him, why ask for volunteers? Must just send the whole guy, the whole gang and kill David? Why ask for volunteers? Number one. Why the spear and jug of water? Why don't let Abishai to do his job? Because David's intention of walking towards David was not to kill him. David's intention of walking to Saul is to make peace with Saul. That was David's intention. It's not to kill him or to retaliate or to take revenge. David walked over to make peace with Saul. But it comes with a price. Make peace is easy to talk. Everybody wants to make peace. But you want to make peace, it always comes with a price. And what is the price? The price is David must absorb the pain. I want you to imagine, right? Saul has been trying to kill David. And David spared Saul many times. Can you imagine the kind of feeling that David was going through? But for him to bring peace, David must absorb that pain. Because it is not impossible to bring peace and reconciliation. If David is not willing to absorb that pain, it is impossible to bring peace and reconciliation. We all know about Hong Kong situation. I'm sure as you look at what happened in Hong Kong, you feel very sad. I also feel very sad as what happened in Hong Kong. It's getting worse. But we all know violence and revenge cannot solve their problem. If they think that by doing violence and revenge can solve the problem, they are deceiving themselves. It will never solve their problems. Violence and revenge will end up with more violence and revenge until someone is willing to absorb the pain. This story I'm going to share with you is a true story that happened in South Africa. It's the same situation like what happened in Hong Kong right now, but it's just that this story happened many, many years ago. But it's a true story that happened in South Africa. The story is about a white security officer, Mr. Van Del Broek, was charged for killing a 70-year-old man's son and husband. He was in the court. And so the security officer was standing there, the woman was standing here, And this security officer not just killed her husband and son, this officer killed her husband right in front of her sight by pouring gasoline over his body and set him on fire. As this woman stands in the courts, listen to the confession offered by Mr. Van de Burek. Interesting, the court turns to the woman and asks, "Madam, so what do you want? How should justice be done to this man who has brutally destroyed your family?" The woman paused for a while and then she said, "I want three things." He said, "First, I want to be taken to the place where my husband's body was burned so that I can get up the dust and give his remains a decent burial. Second, my husband and son were my only family. I want him to become my son. And I would like him to come twice a month so that I can pour out on him whatever love I still have." And I said, "Three, can someone come to me, carry me, bring me to this man? I want to hug this man. I want to put my arms over him. And I want to let him know that he's truly forgiven." It's painful to see how her husband and son were killed. But this woman understands that revenge is overcome by peace only if she absorbs the pain and refuses to let it go any further. David brings peace. David also shows kindness. After David took the spear and a jar of water, they went over to the other side of the mountain and called out the commander, son of Ner and Abner. Why David had to go to the other side of the mountain? Because he's afraid of Saul will kill him again. So he had to go to the other side of the mountain and then he shouted and said, "Commander, you know, Abner, son of Ner, can you please come out?" And what did he do? He reprimanded him. He scolded him. Why did he scold him? He says here, "Are you not a man who is like you in Israel? Why then have you not guarded your lord the king? For one of the people came in to destroy your lord the king. This thing that you have done is not good. As the Lord lives, you deserve to die, because you have not guarded your master, the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is and the jug of water that was by his side." So David called Abner and he scolded him and he accused him for not doing his duty. Because he's saying to him that you are supposed to be King Saul's, the most trusted bodyguard. Do you know that King Saul would have died if David did not stop Abishai to kill him? So he reprimanded Abner. And despite all Saul had done against David, attempted to kill him many times because of Saul's selfish ambitions, David still wants Saul to know that he cares for him. The reason that why David called Abner is to tell Saul that this man you trusted the most didn't protect you. Your life would have gone if not of me. I was there. That's why your life was spared. So what is David trying to tell Saul? I still love you. Despite all the things you have done against me, I still love you. I still care about you. Why do you listen to other people? Why do you listen to them that I'm going to kill you? Look, if I want to kill you, I will kill you long ago. But I didn't. I stopped my men from killing you. You are still my king and you are still the king of Israel. And in fact, after Saul died in the battlefield, David continued to show his kindness to his grandson, Mephibosheth, who is a cripple. Something that David does not have to do it. You know, David continued to show kindness even to his grandson. He makes his grandson to live with him in Jerusalem, which he doesn't have to. And not just that he makes his grandson to sit with him, he restores his land and let him eat at the table with him. David didn't have to do that after what Saul has done to him. But he continued to extend his kindness even to his grandson. And that's why in 2 Samuel 9:7, this is what David said to his grandson, "Don't be afraid. I will surely show you kindness. I will restore all to you, and you shall always eat at my table." Today, David represents Jesus. Maybe some of you here, you feel guilty because of something that you should not do, but you do. Maybe you feel that you have done something wrong against God, and you are guilty about it, and you come to church with this guilt and fear. What would God do to me? I want to encourage you today. I have a good news for you. If you think that Jesus is coming after you, I want you to know that He is not out to get you. He knows all about your sins, and Jesus still loves you. If you are a person, I want you to listen to what Jesus is saying to you today. Don't be afraid. I will surely show you kindness. I will restore all to you, and you shall always eat at my table. Don't run away from God. Come to Him. He's not out there to catch you. God is there to bring you home and restore you, and then bring you to sit at the same table with Him and eat with Him. Thirdly, David humbled himself. In verses 17 to 22, says that, Then Saul knew David's voice and said, "Is that your voice, my son David?" David said, "It is my voice, my lord, my O king." And he said, "Why does my lord thus pursue his servant? For what have I done, or what evil is in my hand? Now therefore, please let my lord the king hear the words of his servant. If the Lord has stirred your heart, stir you up against me, let him accept an offering. But if it is the children of men, may they be cursed before the Lord, for they have driven me out of this day from sharing in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, 'Go, serve other gods.' So now, do not let my blood fall to the earth before the face of the earth, for the king of Israel has come out to seek a flea, as when one hunts a partridge in the mountains." You know, it's very interesting, you know, for David. I mean, he's really someone very, very different. How can he be still so humble after what Saul has done to him? Because if you listen to the tone in his conversation with Saul, he's not like saying to Saul, you know, "Hey, you are lucky, you know. You are alive because I spare you. And I spare you 2 times already. Third time, you may not have a chance. You know, God appointed me and you're very lucky I didn't kill you." But if you listen to his conversation and Saul's conversation, you will sense that David wasn't there to show that he's more superior. He was actually very humble. He was pleading Saul, "Why keep chasing after me? What have I done wrong? What did I do that I deserve such treatment from you?" So he was trying to reason with Saul and help Saul to understand that the problem is not me, the problem is you. You are the one that wants to kill me. I am not. I've never even think of killing you. So you can sense that David is really trying his best to humble himself, you know, to help Saul to know that I am for you and not against you. And David is really, really very humble in order to do that. You know, even in such a situation like that, David continued to value Saul above himself. Because that is the only way that how to help David to be humble before Saul. How do you humble yourself before someone? It's by value the person more important than you. So David values Saul as more important than him, and that is why he's able to talk to Saul in this manner. He still reviews Saul as his king, as someone that he loved. And as a result of Saul's humility, we saw in the same chapter that what happened to Saul? Saul's hate attitude towards David had again changed to the opposite emotion. Then Saul came with hatred, jealousy, and wanted to kill David. But because of David's humility and his pleading for mercy, Saul's emotion changed from hatred to love. And Saul repented of his wrong and promised David again he would not hurt him in future. And then they departed. But interesting, in chapter 27, verse 1, and then of course and verse 4, David said in his heart, "Now I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape to the land of the Philistine, and Saul will despair of me to seek me any more in any part of Israel. So I shall escape out of his hand." And it was told Saul that David had fled to Gath, and Saul sought David no more. So it's interesting, because the first one, David, Saul said, "I will not chase you after more, anymore." David remained in the same place, in the same, is still within Israel, hiding in some of the mountains. But this time, Saul said that, "I will not kill you anymore." But David said, "No, I'm going to go to another place, a foreign place, a Philistine, enemy of Saul." So this time, David had decided to move out. Why? Does that mean that, maybe it's because David has not forgiven Saul? After all these things, David gave up on Saul. So he couldn't forgive Saul, and therefore he decided to leave Saul. But I don't think so. Because throughout the story, if you follow the life of David, throughout the story, you'll realize one thing. David has been the one to be proven that he's stronger than Saul. David is growing from maturity to maturity. He's growing stronger and stronger, not just in his character, but also in his army. So you can see that David is growing more and more mature, but not Saul. So David is a stronger one. He had two opportunities to kill Saul, but he didn't. So David decided to leave Israel and move to Philistines. It's not because he cannot forgive Saul. I believe David has already forgiven Saul. But the reason why David has to leave, the scripture said to us, it is because he could not trust Saul's promise anymore. A man, somebody I know of, not in this church, one day came to me and said, of course, I'll give you a little bit about this background about this guy. This guy broke a lot of promises, he's a sort of like an addict, I don't want to say too much. But someone who broke a lot of promises to his family, always tell the family, forgive me, it's my mistakes. Then the family will try their best to forgive him. So every time he made a mistake, he'll go to the family will say, "Okay, never mind, I'll forgive you." One day, this guy came to me and complained. And he said, "Pastor, I've already said sorry to my family. I said I'm wrong already. But why they still can't trust me?" What this man did not understand is that forgiveness can be instant. But it does not mean they can immediately trust him. Forgiveness can be instant, but it doesn't mean that the family can trust him immediately. Why? Because trust is earned over time. So sometimes you might say, "Hey, I asked for forgiveness already, but why you still don't trust me?" That's because you don't understand. Forgiveness can be something, can be done immediately. But trust builds over time. You need to earn that trust in order for people to trust you. So what is forgiveness? When you talk about "I forgive someone," what do you mean by "I forgive someone"? To forgive means we will not repay evil for evil. That's the meaning of forgiveness. That means whatever you do to me, when I say I forgive you, I will not repay you what you have done to me. You gossip about me, I will not gossip about you. You slander about me, I will not slander about you. That's the meaning of forgiveness. Forgiveness means you will not repay evil for evil, but it does not mean we allow ourselves to be used, misused, or abused by others again and again. Maybe some of us say, I can forgive. You have a very good heart. I can forgive. You know, I can forgive and I can don't revenge. I can don't even repay for evil for evil. But how to love my family? Or how to love my enemy? It's one thing that you forgive someone, but it's another thing that you try to love your enemy. Forgive, I can don't pay you back, yes. But how do I love my enemy? So how does David love Saul? David loved Saul by trusting the Lord. David, at this point, he did not love Saul, hoping one day, somehow, because of his love, Saul would change to a better person. So Saul, David's love for Saul is not that he will become a better person. But David has learned to trust God and place his hope in God. In other words, even Saul does not change to a better person. David will continue to bring peace, show kindness, will continue to value him above himself, because David has learned one thing about God, that God is not unjust and he will not forget his work for him, and how he has shown his love by caring for his enemy. So after all this chapter, everything that David has gone through, David learned one very precious lesson. Through all the encounter with Saul, all this time, he learned one precious lesson. The Lord rewards everyone for their righteousness and faithfulness. Many years ago, I received an email from a church member, not in this church, who commented about my leadership style. You know, as a pastor, Sam, Pastor Titus, welcome to the family. You'll receive sometimes emails from members who will criticize your preaching, your styles. So I received an email that commented about my leadership style. Now, I don't remember I done anything wrong to that guy, alright? I don't remember they say anything about that guy at all. But it just shoot me an email and say that, you know, you shouldn't do that, blah, 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 right? And I cannot criticize her. And I felt the hurt. And it's my pride. So I was very angry, you know. God, what have I done wrong? Why this person, you know, send an email like that? I heard the Lord say, humble yourself. It's very tough. He said, humble yourself. Wow, Lord, you know, but you know my pain, right? Humble yourself. Then he said, call that person. Wow, this person done wrong, you know. I must call. Call that person. Wow. So now even more painful. And then, be kind to him. Wow. Right. So I said, be kind to him. So I said, Lord. Say, yes, do it. And it was very difficult because it was so unnatural. You know what I'm saying? When someone hurts you, it's very unnatural. How to be kind, right? Someone hurts you and you try to be kind. It's very difficult because it's so unnatural. The natural self is when someone hurts you, you want to attack back. But the Lord said no. Be kind. So anyway, I listened to the Lord. So I did it. I called the person. I said, hey, you know, I got your email. Can I meet up with you? I got a bit defensive lah. Okay lah. So we meet up. So when we meet up, alright. Initially, he was very defensive. Then I look at him and say, okay, sorry. Slow down, brother. I say that, you know, I want you to know that today I'm here to thank you for your honest feedback.
I said, I'm here, seriously. I thank you for your feedback, and I want to learn from you more. I want you to know today, I'm not against you. I'm here for you. I'm here to learn from you. And he kept looking at me. And then since then, every month, I will meet up with this guy for a meal. I went for a meal, and he will give me his feedback. He's older than me. And as far as I can, I will always treat him a meal. I will buy him a meal. Before he buy me, I will buy him first. And I will prepare to serve him also. And today, this person who criticized me, he is my best friend. He is my best friend. And today, we continue to meet. We are like a buddy, and we are accountable to each other. But please don't get me wrong, if I happen to call any one of you for lunch, it's not because I have issue with you, alright? Not every person I call for lunch because I got issue with you, right? But it's for this case. So the Lord taught me one very important lesson in my encounter with these guys. As far as I can, build more friends and make less enemy. I think that's what Christians are called to do. Christians, we are not out there to make more enemies. As far as we can, by the grace of God, by the mercy of God, we want to make more friends. So in conclusion, can you turn, can we look at Romans 12, 17, 21, right? Can we read this together? Read this with me together in the count of three. Ready? One, two, three. We never pay back. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If you are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Can I invite you to stand as we come to a close? Evil. Evil could mean your jealousies. The evil could mean your bitterness. The evil could mean your anger. The evil could mean your envy over someone. The evil could mean your selfishness. The evil could be someone's sins of another person. Someone who attacked you. The evil could be your enemy, really enemy. Whatever evil that you are tempted, I want to say to you, don't let evil defeat you. Don't let evil defeat you. Overcome evil by doing good. Because you are more than conqueror in Jesus Christ. For God has not given you a spirit of timidity and fear of power, but of power, love, and self-discipline. The discipline to say no to evil and yes to good. This is who you are in Christ. You are the people of God. You belong to God. You are God's people. You are able to do what the world can't do. The world can't do what you are able to do today is because they don't have a spirit in them. But you have the spirit of God in you. The spirit that is not a spirit of fear, neither is a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. So when you're going through that you're feeling weak, you want to give in to your evil, say to yourself, I am the child of God. I have the Holy Spirit in me. I don't have to be defeated by the evil. I don't have to give in to temptation. I can be different in the name of Christ. I can be like David. Even people try to attack me. Even sometimes they say something to hurt me. I don't have to repay hurt with hurt. I don't have to gossip because they gossip about me. I don't have to slander them because they slander about me. I can be different. They can pay evil, but I will pay with the love of God in my heart. People try to harm me, but I'll repay with the love of God in my heart. Because I belong to God. I am the people of God. I belong to Christ. And God has given me the spirit of love, the spirit of power, and the spirit of discipline. You can be different in Christ. You can be the light for Christ. You also need to remember, God will not hold you responsible. When people try to hurt you, when people try to do harms to you, and they get hurt because of their jealousy, people won't hold responsible what people want to do to you, and they get hurt because of that. But we are responsible for our own action. We are responsible for our action towards others. We are responsible for our attitude towards others. And you know why? Do you know why? Because when we see God in heaven, trust me, it won't be between you and them or them and us. It will be between us and God. God will only ask you, what did you do? And I want you to remember also, the Lord will be your confidence. To love our enemies is a difficult thing to do. Your enemies can be your sibling. Your enemy can be your parents. I've heard how youth talk bad about their parents. They were so angry about parents. I've gone through that in my life as well. That there's bitterness in you towards your parents. Some of us may be siblings, husband, brothers and sisters, fighting at home. Some of us may be friends, you know, within the church, fighting with one another, gossiping, slander one another through social, you know, emails or things like that. I want to encourage you, want you to know, revenge, retaliation will never solve the problem. It will never solve the problem until someone who is willing to be like David absorb the pain and refuse to let it go on. Absorb the pain and pray, Lord, turn this pattern around. Not evil for evil, but pray that God will empower you. Let the love of God through you, you change the whole cycle. The world is living, we are living in a world where we talk about repay evil for evil. An eye for an eye. This is what we are living in the world. But you are not supposed to do that because you are the child of God. You belong to God. You are the people of God. You should do different from what the world is doing. You should turn the world around. When people say that, you know, the world is about an eye for an eye, you must turn the world around and say, no, it's not true. People can take revenge, but I can repay with the love of God. And I want to turn the things around for the glory of God. You can do that because God has given you the Holy Spirit in you, empowers you to make a difference from Him. Sometimes we forgive. It's not because that we hope the person will change. Sometimes no matter how much you forgive, the person will never change. Right? Trust me. No matter how kind you can be, the person will still never change. But we want to continue to be kind. Continue to be good. Because we want our hearts to be presented before our God. When we present our hearts before God, God will not see bitterness in our hearts. God will only see love in our hearts. And how to have this love in our hearts? You have to overcome the bitterness with the love of God. You have to give up your bitterness and ask God to fill your heart with His love. Some people will never change. It's true. No matter how kind you are, people will never change. But we do it not because people can change. We love them not because they can change. We forgive them not because they can change. We do it because we believe in God, and I want to be the people God wants me to be. A people of love, a people of kindness, a people of grace, a people of mercy, a people of peace in our hearts. And this is what God wants you to have. Don't let the world corrupt you.
Do not be conformed by the pattern of this world. Renew today by renewing the mind, the pattern that God wants you to have. And last but not least, why we love, why we show mercy to people, especially those who keep hurting you. Why must we continue to love and show mercy? Because we are worshipping a God who is good. We are serving a God who is full of grace. We are serving a God who is full of mercy. We are serving a God who is full of compassion. We are serving a God who is kind. That no one is like our God. This is our God. It's so full of love, full of compassion and kindness. This is the God I'm serving. And because my God is full of love, and therefore, I will do the same as how God would do to me. When I am a sinner, when I sin against God, God did not turn His eyes away from me. When I sin against God, God did not come to me and then just leave me alone on my own. When I sin against God, when I cry out to God, Jesus died on the cross for our sin. When we come to Him and say, God, please forgive me. God stretched out His hand. He did not just forgive our sin. He poured out His love to all of us. That when we are still sinners, God still loves us. You and me have experienced that love. And my sense to you today, my young people, as I look at what happened in Hong Kong, the students and the things they are doing, it really saddens my heart. These are the young people who are precious in the eyes of God. But look at what they are doing today. Believing that by showing violence, by retaliating, somehow you change things. I feel sad for them. And I don't want you to be like them. This is not the destiny God has called you. You have a higher grace. You have a higher destiny. You are called to change the world. Not through violence, not through evil with evil, but through the love of God. Through the love of God. Believing in the word of God. And God through you will change the world. Amen. Amen. That is my prayer for all of you. Don't let bitterness corrupt your heart. Don't repay evil for evil. Today, make a stand. You want to make a difference for God. I will repay evil with good. Amen.
All right. Shall we all lift up our hands? Someone once said that forgiveness is climbing onto the cross and pinning back the fact that someone else should be punished for the hurt that has been dealt to us. We pin onto that cross our perspective, our right to justice in that instance. But the cycle of pain continues on and on when we do not do so. The cycle of pain continues until it is surprised by the mercy, forgiveness, and love that creeps into that hatred. God, we just want to pray, Lord, for all of our hearts. Lord, I think some of us today might be hurt by people who have hurt us, by people who have also been hurt by others. But Lord, today I pray that as disciples of Christ, Lord, will we choose to overcome the wrongs with rights, with love, Lord. God, I pray that for all of us, will we make the choice not to follow the world, but will we make the choice to follow You? And all God's people say, Amen. All right? Just wanted to read part of a song. Right? This is how love wins every single time. Climbing high upon a tree when someone else should die. This is how love heals the deepest part of us, letting Himself bleed into the middle of our wounds. This is what love says, standing at the door. you don't have to be who you've been before. Right? Pray that all of us will be a people of love, right? Even as we sing the closing song, right? We can meditate on the message. And even for the secondary segment, youths that go into your cell, I hope that you'll be able to discuss, right, about forgiveness, about what it means to reconcile, what it means to let go. Right? For the rest of us, even as we go home, to really bring this sermon into practice, right?
Your kindness leads me to repentance. Your goodness draws me to your side. Your mercy calls me to be like you. Your favor is my delight. Every day
this time, we pray that the seeds of your love will remain deep in our hearts, and we will always choose to walk in your ways as your disciples. And all God's people say, Amen. All right. Shall we thank Pastor Joseph for coming to preach to us, right? Quite a long day for him because he started preaching at 2:30. Right? How many of you can tell me who was the disciple that asked Jesus how many times should we forgive? Anyone know? Can you just shout out? What? That's right, it's Peter, right? In Matthew chapter 18. Shall we give him an applause for that? Right? And The same Peter eventually betrays Jesus, is reinstalled in John chapter 21. And in the book of 1 Peter, he says, above all else, 1 Peter 4:8, right? Love one another so that your love can cover the multitude of sin, right? So let us love each other and let us be the ones that know that Jesus forgave us. We are reinstalled, can overcome what is evil in the world with what is good, all right? So go and be good, right? Enjoy your cell time and whatever. We'll see you guys next week. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.whos.org.sg. God bless.